Hey, everybody.
Hey.
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 Hi, Papa.
No, I ain't Papa. It's Uncle C. Uncle C.
That's Uncle C. That's not Papa.
Papa.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Papa. Hi, Papa.
Okay, Arian, he heard you.
Now we're unmuted. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Right, we are live.
Hey, baby girl.
Hey.
Hey there.
Hey.
We're live now.
We live now? Okay. Yeah. All righty. Let us want to welcome everyone to the meeting tonight and thank you all for joining us. Those who are with us and those who are coming, we want to make sure that we take time out to begin tonight's session with a prayer of thanksgiving, for how we thank God for what he has done for us today and how we have received a wonderful blessing this day. We were able to attend church this morning at Greater Friendship, receive the wonderful word, the place I retired from after 20 years, and we were able to go there this morning and hear our son preach a great friendship, and certainly was a wonderful experience for us. So we are, as Dad would say, we are bubbling with joy because we heard a great word this morning and attended service together. So let's begin with a word of prayer, then we'll explain what we're doing here tonight. God, we thank you for how good you've been to us and how you have blessed us, how you have kept us, and we thank you for the anointing that we were able to be under today. And we ask for your continued blessings and that you would lead us and guide us in this session tonight as we come together, Lord, to discuss, or even talk about, or even learn about ways that we can be better connected according to your word and your will. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So good evening. Now, this, let me put this disclaimer out there at first start. This is not a counseling session. Let me say that again. This is not a counseling session tonight. I am open for counseling sessions, but a Christian counseling session. We are both open for that, but this is not one of those sessions tonight. What we are doing tonight is a prep session to help us prepare for future workshops, seminars, retreats, those kind of things that we know we'll be doing as Pearls of Living. This is Pearls of Living, a presentation of Pearls of Living called Pearls of Wisdom, where we try to give people knowledge to do the very best you can in whatever situation you're in. Like last week, we was talking about how churches come back after COVID, and certainly we had Joy Sykes with us as a presenter, and it was a great time, and it helped us to start to formulate what kind of workshop would be needed for coming back after COVID-19. So. That was the purpose of that workshop. So tonight, the purpose of this workshop, not this workshop, but this setting, is to help us to create that workshop or create an environment where we can have an actual weekend or a setting. Yeah, somebody's coming in. As you come in, please mute.
Are you gonna water it alone?
No. Unless Shepard, you got that control. Anyway. So this setting tonight is going to help us to answer some questions, begin to ask some questions as what does a workshop setting look like? What does a weekend retreat look like that would be focused strictly on marriage? And a lot of stuff that we have talked about in the past, My wife and I attended a seminar back many years ago, over 20 years ago, with Willard F. Harley in his book called Love Busters. And we actually went through that seminar on that book called Love Busters. And we came back and we were able to teach that book. And that's basically the book I've been using all these years for counseling since I've been in Minnesota. We used other resources when we were out of Mississippi. But since I've been in Minnesota, it's mainly been the Harley Love Busters book. So if you're looking for a reading right now, what I can refer to you is the reading on F. Harley Love Busters. And but in the very near future, you'll be to read a book on Billy and Tilly. Celebrate our number of years together in marriage. I think we can write a book better than Harley, although because he wasn't married as long as we were married, and as long as we have been married. And so I think that's one of our first projects together, my first writing. Well, there's some writings already, but our first official book will probably be a book on how to stay married through it all. I may have just given the title too. So with that in mind, we have tonight on this land over 150 years of marriage experience. So that's why I say we can write a book better than F. Harley Love Bus, because we got over 150 years of marriage on this land tonight. Now y'all correct me if I miss something. Gene and Jay been married 50 years. Oh, 51 years. You're muted, so 51 years, you and Jay been married. All right.
So Aunt Jean and Uncle Mac and Deisha, y'all can go ahead and unmute because y'all going to be participating tonight.
Yeah.
Okay,
so Jean and Jay been married. How many years, Jean?
51.
Mac and Brenda, y'all been married how long?
51.
Unmute.
46. How long?
46 years, so that's 51 and 46. How many years? What's 51 plus 46?
97.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Me and Tariq been married 44 years. You add that up. All right. Shabia and Charmaine been married 16 years. All right. And Joe and Tanisha been married 4 years. I hope I got it right. Not three. I said three before.
Yeah. It's four.
4 years they've been married now. So we have over 150 years experience in this Pearls of Living conversation tonight, this Pearls of Wisdom conversation, over 150 years. So I think when it comes down to talking about marriage, we can really do this thing. And the concept of the love seat, that's what we call this. If you remember, some people probably still got a love seat in your house. And that's the seat where really, you know, it's just the shorter couch where you sit close together. So that's why I call it the love seat, because that's where a lot of things took place on the love seat. So tonight if you got a chance, like Gene and Jay on the love seat, like Mac and Brent on the love seat. So if you want to get a chance to sit on your love seat, my wife and I, we couldn't get to a love seat, but we acting like we're on the love seat. So that's where we are. So let me start out tonight by, I'm gonna take you to a scripture, because some of the questions we already been asked, and you can, at the end of time, you can go into the chat, and you know, of course, if you would like to, because in a few minutes we're going to turn it over to Deisha and Lamar, who are soon to be married. And matter of fact, exactly 2 weeks from right now, we're going to be singing this song, Love and Happiness, because they're going to be married. Okay, so 2 weeks from right now, they'll be married, and so we're going to give them a chance to ask them the most questions. I ask the questions tonight, so if you have questions, put them in the chat. For Deisha and Lamar, we'd be able to ask those questions as we go forward. But I want to throw it out tonight by taking us to something I always do in all my marriage classes.
Oh,
in Genesis,
okay.
chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, let's start at verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And listen what it said. And I'm going to read this from the New Living for a reason, because it reads, one or two words are different in the New Living and the King James and the NIV, but they're all the same. When they say soul, being, it's all the same word when it comes down to the Greek. And verse 18 said, and the Lord God said, it isn't good for man to be alone. I will make a companion for him a helper suited to his needs. A helper suited to his need. So the Lord God formed from the soil every kind of animal and bird and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever he called them, that was their name. But still, there was no proper helper for man. And all these animals came before him. The man was like, mm-mm. Verse 21. Then the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep and took one of his ribs and closed up the place from which he had removed it and made the rib into a woman and brought her to the man. And watch this, verse 23. He brought her to the man. The man said, this is it. Adam exclaimed, she is part of my own bones and flesh. Her name is woman because she was taken out of man. This explains why man leave his father and mother and is joined to his wife in such a way that the two become one flesh. Mm-hmm. Now, although the man and his wife were both naked, neither of them was embarrassed or ashamed. Now, that's a scripture every now and then you just need to go back and read and just realize that, wow, this is why God did this thing, that I would actually have a companion. My spouse would be my companion, my soulmate. That's what it's really saying right there. So just, I'm not going to preach a sermon, but I'm going to give you some things that kind of stands out in this particular text when God said it's not good for man to be alone.
Amen.
It's not good. All right. So, and I think I already heard some. So we don't worry. All right. Yeah, so what this bet. Text? Lost in a bit. It says, so what I see, the first thing I see in this text is that we should treat your spouse as your soulmate. That's what this particular scripture says. Treat your spouse as your soulmate. It's not good for man to be alone. God said, I will make a helper suitable for him. Then he created all the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, and Adam named each one. But what? But for Adam, no helper, no suitable helper was found. But when God called the deep sleep to fall over man and took their rib, and the man woke up and looked at the woman and said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
Flesh.
Now, do you know what Adam is saying? He's saying, I found my soulmate.
This
is the partner that God created for me. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. I found my soulmate. The one that God created for me. This is how you need to see the person you married. Now notice tonight, this session is for married people, but it's also for single people too. If you're single, you may want to think a little while before you get married because you want to make sure that you're soulmate. You want to make sure that God has joined this thing together. But if you're married, this session tonight should enrich your marriage. So you see the person you married as your soulmate, as the partner God created for you. I know some people may object to this and say, not this Neanderthal, this crazy person. This is not who God created for me. Well, that's who you got. Yeah. That's who it is. And I didn't say it would be easy. He didn't, and God didn't say it would be easy. But he did say it could happen. The two become one. In other words, that's how God sees you. God sees you as the two become one. Mm-hmm. They will become, that's verse 24, they will become, notice I said, they will become one flesh. Okay? Mm-hmm. In every marriage, that decision must be based upon what is best for not just you anymore. It's not just about you anymore. It's not about what about me or what about, you know, the man said, what about me? And the wife said, what about me? No, it's what about us.
Right.
It's got to be what about us. Because God sees you as one, according to verse 24. But then the second thing I see here is we ought to treat our spouse as our top priority. The top priority. The top priority when it comes down, your top priority when it comes down to people. Now, God is number one. But outside of everybody else, that husband or that wife is number one.
That's right.
That's the reason why I said For this reason, a man will leave. Now watch this, he will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife.
That's right.
Now, leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Now that word cleave, it means you're gonna stick together like glue. Mm-hmm. Like glue, I mean, that's it. Now, I know that's easy when you first get married. It's easy to be glue. Mm-hmm. You like to glue together. Mm-hmm. Because me and Teresa, listen, we were like glue before and after for the first few years. Listen, we were like glue. And the first time I went off to Michigan to a revival, the first time I left her for a week, oh Lord, it was crazy. We would call each other every few minutes. I mean, and then when I finally got home after a week, after the MDM revival, when I finally got home, Shabir was conceived. And the next time I went from her for a week, finally got home, Jisha was conceived.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, because we was missing each other so much, being apart those few days, it was like, this can't work. We can't be apart. We like glue. And can I tell you something? Even now, after all these years, somebody wondering, now I know it's easy to do when you first get married, but after all going up to 45 years, 55 years of being together, 55 years of, after being together, 55 years, here it is still right now. Okay, I'm retired. I'm at the house. She's still working. So she's halfway retired. So on Monday and Tuesday, she lost. So we get on each other's nerve. We around each other every day on Monday and Tuesday, all day, every day. But you would think I'd be happy when she go to work, like, yoo-hoo! No. She go to work, and the first thing I thought I'd do is looking at my watch, wondering what time she gonna get back. Then after sitting at those first few hours, it takes so long, guess what I'll do? I'll call up, like, how you doing, babe? I mean, we've been together all the time, and you just left. And it's 10:30, I'm already trying to call to check on you, see how you're doing. That's what this means right here, that your spouse, your top priority, you're sticking together like glue. Yes. And that's what we've done over the years. And I won't go into all of that, but that's what it means. Now here, when Adam said, when the word said they were both naked, and they're like, oh, that's okay. Well, it's like so the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. In other words, treat your spouse with unconditional acceptance. What that simply means is, it's all I know. Not just your body, but everything about you. I got nothing to hide.
Your courage and your imperfections.
Everything. This is who I am. And that's why it's good to know who that person is before you marry.
Amen.
Because the bottom line is, don't expect to go into a marriage and change somebody. But now your unconditional love says, I love you even if you don't change, because I married you. You're my soulmate. I love you because of that. That's why it's so important you recognize that before you jump into this thing, because you cannot go into a situation expecting to change somebody. And when they change, that's when I love them. That's not going to happen. Okay, so this is saying you treat your spouse with unconditional acceptance. Love them, the person you married. They may change for the better, hopefully, but even if they stay the same, if they weigh, well, Teresa weighed 96 pounds, I married her. She did a little changing, but guess what? I still accept her as she is. I was like a little 175 pound person myself. But guess what? That's who I was when she married. And right now, I still look like that 175 pound strong man to her. And she still look like that 95 pound woman to me. She still looks as beautiful as she was the day I married. So even if there is some changes to take place, it's still, I'm stuck to you like glue. That's what it means. And I can say this to you all, because listen, I'm gonna give you something. I didn't get counseling when we didn't get counseling. She was at Galilee Church when daddy was pastor. I was at Morning Star when my daddy was pastor. So, but we didn't get no counseling. But we got counseling. But here when the counseling came on the day of the wedding out in Mama Hattie's yard. It's 98 degrees outside. And we're standing on a tree with that's leaking water on us. I can forget the name of the tree. but it's in the front yard. There's a dusty road. There's dust flying everywhere. And Dad is standing out there in a black suit. And it's 90 degrees. And Dad is going to decide to counsel us right then. Mm-hmm. It was a 2-hour ceremony. I'm telling you all. We were supposed to be in New Orleans at 6 o'clock because we thought the wedding was going to be over by 3. But it's 4 o'clock. And Dad is still trying to get us married. Because guess what he did? He went over every vow. And then turned and looked at me and said, boy, you know what they're saying? Yes, I did. I said, well, let me tell you what it's saying. I said, Dad, I got it. Let me tell you what it's saying. That's how he went through every vow. That's how he counseled us that day. He asked me to understand. Then he turned to Teresa and asked her, do you understand what they're saying? And then even though we said, yeah, we got it, but still he said, well, let me tell you again what it's really saying. All right. So with that in mind, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to at least go through these vows. And then after I go through these vows, I'm going to leave the flow open because I think it's important. And Nadisha and Lamar, they've been through counseling with me, praise the Lord, and my wife. But I think it's important for couples to go back every now and then and remember the vow that you made, how many every years you've been married. The first thing, it starts out by saying, we're gathered here in God's presence to witness. Now notice, in the presence of God. And then it stopped. He said, boy, you know God looking at us, don't you? Yeah, then I know he's looking at us. You know what that mean? That means God is here right now. In his presence, that means he's here on this tree right now. Okay, then I got it. All right. So when he went through all that, telling the experience of how important it was and in the presence of God, then he looked at me and said, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife to live together in the holy state of matrimony? And before I do, he asked me a question. Do you know what that's saying? He explained everything, including matrimony. He explained it. And then he said, now you say I do. I said, I do. Then he said, will you love her, comfort her, and honor her? Now love her, comfort her, honor her, keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaken all others, keep only unto her, so long as you both shall live. And back then, the only answer you would accept was, I do. Not I will, not I might. You had to say, I do. I will when accepted it, but I do. Okay. And then he turned to Teresa and said, will you have this man to be your wedded husband, to live together in the holy state of matrimony? Will you love him, comfort him, honor him, keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaken all others, keep you only unto him so long as you both shall live? And she had the answer, I will, I do. No, she couldn't say I will. She had to say I do, because he was stopping. And then here was the exchange of vows. Because now some people opt out right here and say they want to say their own vows, which is good. You can actually write your own vows, but still these are traditional vows that somewhere need to be mentioned in a ceremony. And I hope that everybody got this in your wedding time. If you didn't do this but the first time around, you might need to go back and do it again. Because this is what Deisha and Lamar, this is what y'all gonna be saying. I, Lamar, take thee, Deisha, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold. And you won't have to repeat all this stuff. Lamar, you gotta say that, to have and to hold from this day forth, for better, for worse, for rich, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. No, he go ahead and say it. To death do us. I'm looking at it. To death do us, according to God's holy order. And I'm saying right now, I pledge you my faith. That means that you can trust me. And then guess what? These you gotta say the same thing. You got feedback.
I do.
Okay, you just say I do. No, you gotta say I, Deisha.
Hi, Deisha.
Take you, Lamar.
Yes, I'm ready.
Lamar,
take you,
to be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
To have in the home.
To have
from this day forward. For better, for worse, for richer, for poor. In sickness and in health, to love and cherish. To death alone do part us. And therefore, you can trust me too. And then the ring was given as a reminder what you said that day. Mm. Are y'all hearing feedback?
Are y'all hearing feedback?
Nope.
You're not? Okay.
No. Okay.
Yeah. So, the rings are given as a reminder of the vow that you make on that day. And guess what? When you do that, that don't mean that day you become one. You are in the process of becoming one. Because you're in the process of getting to know each other. That's why I encourage people, before you say I do, get to know as much about that person as you can. Mm. Because you don't want no surprises on wedding night. Like, oh, I know you would now. I know you did it like that. Okay. So, I mean, I'm just saying that y'all can take that, but get to know as much as you possibly can on doing the courtship. And trust me, we courted a lot.
Y'all did.
We courted a lot. And and matter of fact, we still court anyway. So with that in mind, I'm gonna let some of our distinguished guests. I've already told you about us, y'all know us. Billie G. Russell, Teresa Russell, we've been married, happily married, 44 years. And I'm just thankful that after all this time that she's still with me. We've been through a lot in ministry and working in the public sector, in school systems and in banks and as a nurse and in churches and everything else. We've been through all of this. And we brought up some children. I started to say we raised some great children. When you don't raise children, you raise hogs. As Reverend Chapman say, we brought up some great children. And I'm so thankful for them. So at this time, I mean, I want to make sure they have a great marriage. And when I read this thing about in Genesis chapter 2, there's going to be a big discussion, a big major discussion on what's called soul ties. And not soul ties, but soul mates. And I'm going to bring one of my best friends in to talk about this. He talked about it in a men's retreat we had, Pastor Coleman, Pastor Larry Coleman out of Dayton, Ohio, really. And recently retired Pastor Coleman out of Dayton, Ohio. And he's going to come in and he's going to talk to us on one of these sessions. And also in our workshop we have too. And he did this thing on the body, the soul, and the spirit. And I'm going to let him come in and talk about that. We're going to better understand what the difference between the body, the soul, and the spirit. But we're not going to be able to cover all that tonight, but at least we're going to kind of jump into this thing by, I guess I'm going to let each couple decide who's going to be the one to talk. Mac, if you want to talk, or Brenda want to talk, or Gene, if you or Jay want to just kind of talk about you all's relationship, where you are right now, And I know both of y'all can talk all night, so you know we only got an hour, so y'all can just tell something about your marriage and where you are right now in your state of marriage right now.
You want us to do that right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll do the talking. Get on over here, Jay, by me, so they can see you.
Yeah.
We're Gene and Jay Patton. We've been married for a total of 51 years. And actually, we courted 5 years. And like you say, it's very important to get to know each other before you hook up with that individual. We've been through some ups and downs. And, you know, you can say you've had 51 years of bliss, but that's a lie. It has not been 51 years of bliss. It's been a lot of ups and downs, but I tell you what has kept us together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you don't base a marriage on that, you may as well don't get married. And another major point I would like to say is that you have to have mutual respect one for the other. That's extremely important. And now Jay and I go through some stuff, but you have to learn how to read each other. You have to learn, you have to really get to know that individual. You have to know, you know, if you're wrong, say I'm sorry. And if you're right, be quiet. Everything is not worth fussing and fighting over. You know, we've learned that through the years. And some things I'm still trying to teach Jay, because you do know God knew what he was doing when he gave a woman to that man. Now, those of you who are in relationship and in a true relationship with your husband, Lord have mercy. They need us. I mean, we need them too. But sometimes I think that man, you know, he's the head, and we've got to give him that respect. And first of all, he's got to be that spiritual head. And if he is not that spiritual head, you know, we can do without some of that other stuff. But God is good, and I thank him. I truly thank him that we've been able to come through the things that we've been through. We've reared 4 children, and we have 8 grandchildren, and we're still trying to be an example, you know, for those grandchildren and for all of the people. I call them all of the people who are in my little circle. I do the best I can, and Jay does too, to be a good spiritual role model for them. But it all starts right here between these two walls where we've been looking at each other. And with Jay, we've been looking at each other many, many, many days and nights, all day, every day. And sometimes I can go in the sunroom and he don't want me away from him, just down the hall. So that stuck to you like glue thing, you know, that's a reality. But at the same time, it's important for you to let that person, you know, be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So Mac and Brenda, after all that, for 46 years, who's going to be the spokesperson there? You're on mute, back. Y'all mute. I'm mute. Okay. And we're gonna come back to Gene and Jay. We'll come back to everybody, but right now, just who's gonna be the spokesperson for this particular marriage?
Just a little checking out both of us, because I'll say something and one of us will interject. That's how it is. There's no giving of, like, you think 50-50 or 100%. You know, you think each of you all give 100%. No, sometimes you have to give like 120 front door gene. And the other one may only give 75, but you still have to give that 110 regardless. And you have to let things go. You can't let it simmer and stay in you, and because it'll fester like a sore. So you gotta let a lot of things just go, like that gold in the well. You gotta shake it off and go on. That way, you know, you keep love for each other. And I can't say a night goes by that when Chuck and I go to bed, even after 46 years, I still have to lay in his arms to go to sleep. Because I saw a survey they did that older people don't sleep with each other. They don't lay in each other's arms anymore. It's important to do that, to instill that closeness with you. And what else?
46 years.
Yeah.
All right, 46 years. So with that in mind, I don't know if any questions came across, but Charmaine, y'all want to talk? 16 years would have been like 16 years.
Sweet 16. Charmaine, you go ahead and just talk about it.
Well, I wasn't prepared to talk, but 16 years, I think we hit another learning curve about each other. So we're still learning each other on into depth with our, just learning each other in a different level and understanding, having more compassion and understand that we don't actually grow at the same time all the time and all in the same areas. One person may be stagnant in one area while the other person excels and vice versa. But still just extending that extreme compassion and empathy. I think that's where I am in 16.
I remember when we was going through counseling, and with Pastor Sister Russell, and my mom said, well, you really just start to get to know each other in 10 years. And I was like, whatever, you know, I already know her. You know, hey, we've been together 2 years, a year and a half. You know, man, I know everything. I'm good. But that she knew what she was talking about, because it's a learning process, you know, just trying to learn how to best support each other, how to not only in, you know, when it comes to just like career and stuff like that, but emotionally, you know, understanding what that person is, what that person's story is, understanding more of what their story is. So then you understand how to support them more, because we look at situations from, like our pastor said earlier, just from our eyes. You know, I said this morning, I said, it's my mama's fault that life was all about me. You know, she made us everything about her kids, you know, and so that's how I came into marriage, you know, that it was all about me. But since being married, I done learned how to be about us. And that in turn has helped me in how I relate to other people, and how patient I am. And I use those same principles in terms of how I relate to other people. So Sweet 16, that's what we call it. And we are still learning, so.
All right, thank you. Tanisha and Joe, y'all got something to say? Are they still on? I've been looking for them. One of y'all wanna say something? Tanisha, Joe, y'all bathed, you got 4 years.
We're here.
Okay.
I mean, this is new, so we're still learning every day and navigating the waves of change. Some of those waves might be very powerful and crashing and scary. Some of them are exhilarating and fun, but nonetheless, all of them are an adventure, and we're navigating that adventure one day at a time. Who knows? Maybe we'll have more to say when we reach 16 and 42 or 51 and 53 and all those years. But we'll cross those bridges when we get to them. But right now, the bridge we're at is understanding and learning each other more and more every day.
I'm trying to get 4 more years.
All right, 4 more years. About 40 more years. All right. Disha and Lamar. What do you want to say to them?
Let me talk.
Okay, go ahead.
I just have a message in my heart to let God be the glue, and that's in our relationship. And you know, I've been sharing with my wife about the angles of a triangle. I don't know why the triangle just sticks out, but the angles of a triangle, inside of it is 180 degrees. And understanding each angle for us, like I have what I want to say, she got what she want to say, but God has the final say. And God is that glue that has been, I feel like, improving our relationship. That's all I got.
All right, I'm quite sure that each couple, the couple Mac and Brennan, out of 46 years, they can say God is the glue. Gene and Jay can say after 51 years, God is the glue. And certainly we can say after 44 years, God is the glue. But the whole point of it is recognizing, going into a marriage, you got to know God. I'm just telling y'all right now. And if you don't know God right now, if you're married right now and don't know God, I'm going to say to you right now, get to know him. If you want your marriage to be successful, get to know God. Get to know Jesus and the pardon of your sin. All right. So at this time, now, Disha and Lamar, y'all been dating now for a year and a half. So what have y'all learned about each other a year and a half in dating? And then you can do a spinoff on that from the and begin to ask questions to these couples. And we got about another good 20 minutes. So y'all can talk about what you've learned about each other, then start asking questions. And go to the chat or whatever. You have a question, we'll close out with questions.
Well, first, I would like to say thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful counseling session. We didn't even want to, and we was like, no, we got to do check-ins. So we look forward to the check-ins for our continued counseling, and to also put a plug into counseling. Counseling is, we shouldn't seek counseling when there is a problem. Counseling gives us strategies to be successful. So I appreciate everything, the foundation that has been laid. I appreciate being under the feet of over 150 years of marriages, And I really appreciate this Zoom session.
What I'd really like to say is, you know, the base is God, but the amazing, amazing support that we have is going to be part of our foundation too. This Zoom meeting, Mama Teresa and Dr. Russell, what you guys have given us as far as support is concerned is amazing. Myself and Deisha, we will continue to learn every day, but we're committed to that. We're committed to each other. We're committed to the process.
Yeah,
we are. We're truly committed to the process. Thank you guys so much for everything that you guys have just said to us. We don't take it for granted. We're going to put it in the gas tank and we're going to drive.
Yeah.
We're going to drive. Thank you guys so much.
Drive.
Yes. We're going to cruise, baby.
Yes, ma'am.
So we have a few questions that we would like to ask. And anybody on the call, they could even put the answers, chime in and put answers on the chat.
Well, I got one right here. I got, do you recommend commentary of your own or others that include those relationship scriptures and breaks them down? In other words, do you recommend any type of books or anything that breaks those scriptures down? In real time, like real life type stuff, or any type of book or something that people can read? That's a question that comes from Facebook Live.
Well, the book I recommended was Willa F. Harley, Love Busters. It's a lot of books. We've read a lot of books. We've seen a lot of books, but I think the Love Buster books are one of the best that's out there. It's been out there for a long time, but it's still got some very key things in there. Everything from talking about how to deal with a situation that actually withdraws from the love bank and how to add to the love bank and how to deal with angry outbursts and all kind of things. It's a great book. And it's got a workbook that goes with it. And I would recommend to anybody before you get married to go through that particular book with the workbook and get to know more about each other. Look forward to another book coming from us in the very near future. But right now, the book I would recommend would be the Harley, Love Buster's book. As I said, we went to the workshop, the seminar, and attended a lot of other things by him. And right now, I think it's one of the best things on the market as far as just very practical kind of things. But again, just reading the Bible, reading, and taking and read from like the New International, the New Living Translation. You see what I read from that, how it breaks it down, although it's saying the same thing, but it puts it in today's language. That's why they say the New Living Testament. Read the New Living Testament is just like reading a novel, just like reading a book.
All right, looks like Uncle Mac and Aunt Brenda have their hand raised.
Yeah, go ahead. Off mute.
I did something right. I just wanted to say to our younger couples that you won't always be on the same page. And I know in our marriage, in the early years of our marriage, especially since I'm from one end of the country and Chuck is from the other, we had a lot of days where I would be down, he would be up, and then he would be down, and I would be up. It'd be about the same thing mainly, but we wouldn't be on the same page. So you still have to lift the other up in these down times and up, or just help, you know, don't argue so much. If the other one is not on the same page that you're on, is what I was saying, because it was rather difficult for me, the transition, but after 46 years, I guess I made it. So, yeah, don't always, when you're on those different pages, like Joseph's triangle, just wait, you know, even if you have to leave the room or leave the house, but try and lift the other person up, because there are going to be times I know.
That you have to break up to make up.
Yeah. And, you know, making up is always, you know, you know, since y'all are younger, the fun part. And we remember those times.
y'all remember those times? Just in memory only? Yeah. I understand what Brenda's saying. Brenda actually, and Mac, Brenda came from Ypsilanti, Michigan. Mac came from Blue Spring, Mississippi. And Brenda moved to Blue Spring with Mac.
Yeah, that Ruth, when you read.
That was a major culture shift.
Yeah.
Well, like just like Teresa came from Chicago to Blue Spring, but she was raised in Mississippi, but she had tried to be back in Chicago like before we got together. And but it was a culture shift. So that's why it's so important to talk to each other, get to know each other, and know about each other. Because right. It's a different life growing up in Blue Spring and in Minnesota. Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead. Back to this and Lauren.
Questions is, how do you define love? How do you define love?
Y'all got that one?
Okay. A lot of times when you're talking about love, people just want to think about the physical aspect, but that, you know, that physical stuff is only for a while.
Yeah.
But Jay still sits up and talks about, I remember the day back when I walk in the room and you get all nervous and trembly and smile and go on. And I still feel like that. And sometimes I look at him and say, really? Really? You know, love is more than, you know, the physical. And I still feel like that, that he, you know, he does love me a lot like that. But, you know, over the years, things shift. And it's not just physical. But love, I always go back to, you know, like you were saying in the beginning about that scripture, but I always take it back to 1 Corinthians 13. Y'all, if we can't be kind and have respect one for another and show patience and be willing to let that other person be themselves and turn all that other mess down, we don't love. And if you don't have Jesus, if you don't know Christ and know how to put it in that realm, That's important to put it from that framework. Jesus.
Amen. So I say love is this intense feeling, sure enough. But I think that love is driving from Ypsilanti, Michigan, in an old 1960 something Catalina that within in the junkyard, and going to Chicago for the very first time, and something that Uncle Russell had told me he didn't know if we're gonna make it or not. But I go to Chicago, and I pick up this lady right here, because guess what? I just couldn't stand to be without her. I went, picked up, had never been to Chicago before in my life. I went and got her and asked her to come with me to Blue Spring. I left Michigan. Mm-hmm. Went to Chicago, picked her and Anita up, and we went to Mississippi. And I got to Mississippi, and Daddy's yard, and the front end of the car, the whole front end fell off under the thing. That's to me. Love said, "Look, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to be with you. I got to be with you." Yep, and intense feeling. Yeah, intense feeling. But again, it goes like that. Ben, I'm tied to you. And I don't care how much I tried to get away from her, she kept coming back. All the things we went through, being away from each other. When I was in college, she was in Chicago, but still, we were drawn together by that intense feeling we had for each other. Now, to me, I mean, I could do the Al Green. I could say love is walking together, talking together, singing together, being together. To me, that's what love is.
Okay, that's
beyond the definition.
Being together.
Praying together.
Staying together.
To me,
anybody else wanna?
Yes, to me, love is everything that you guys have said. But to me, I can still remember when we were in the early years, when my wife went to Michigan and stayed for a while, my girlfriend at the time, fiance, I was still, I missed her to a point that I was not satisfied until I lay my eyes on her. For a while, I worked in New Orleans and summertime, and every door we walked past going down the street, seemed like the sun was going off, but saying it was love and happiness was one. And it just seriously, now these things just went with us, and I just, that was my heart. She was my heart. And she doesn't believe it. I said, one of these days we're gonna have our little world, just you and I. And I told her not about 2 weeks ago that we do have that little world. That's just the two of us.
He still says that mess.
Well, listen, I'm 73 years old. Mm-hmm. And for the past 51 years, it's still, like I said, and I still feel that feeling.
He's 74. Almost.
He's 74 in September.
My bad.
But I tell you what, I still believe in giving her compliments and telling her how good she looks and how good her food is when she cooked it. That okra she cooked today, Reb, it was uptown.
Oh Lord, yeah, okra today. Oh Lord.
And look, it was more like Brenda Lawrence's today. Thank you.
Okay, Brenda, go ahead.
It was dry.
Seriously.
Okay, that's enough.
Back to our questionnaires.
Hey, so with all the combined years of marriage, you talked about still courting and dating. So what is your ideal date night?
Go ahead.
Somebody want to say? Well, we were talking about that the other day. Old folks, what we like to do in a, you know, a safe environment, our ideal date night consists of going out to dinner and coming to the house and watching a movie. And Jay says we like to go to dinner early so we can get there and get home before all the people get there. That's what we like to do. We like to be home. We love our home. And that's where we're most comfortable. And the point we are at right now, I have to do most of the driving, so we need to be home early.
Mac and Brenda.
Well, my idea is late night. I'm sure it's not what you're doing. Like dinner and a movie, but bowling in there too. And go for it. I've always done all the dining, so it doesn't matter to me, day or night. Although my daughter died, she didn't go on my death. Douglas haven't helped me. But my ideal date is going to Jamaica. Let's go to Jamaica again.
I think that would be fun.
Old folks had some fun.
Yes, we did. I've been quiet the whole time. I've been listening and I've really enjoyed it. What came across my mind was when he read the part that you'll grow together to become one. And sure enough, that's right. And someone else said about the different transitions in your marriage. I think Charvez and Charmaine, you go through different transition. Oh, and Tanisha and Joe, transition in your marriage, and you do, you go through different stages. And but the idea, what God is trying to tell us, grow together with each other. Don't outgrow each other, but grow together. And when you grow together like that, then you would look around and see wonderful results from it. And not only that, and someone told me, some of my friends said, oh, you're going to love emptiness. I went, oh my gosh, what is that? But when all the kids left and I looked around and there were just the two of us, and I went, who are you? So I went, because, you know, during that time, your focus is on your kids. Everything is on the kid, not everything, but a lot of things are on the kids. And sometimes you will leave each other out. But I challenge each and every one, don't leave yourself out. Create a date night. Create a time for just the two of you. Even if you got a dozen children in the house, if you just pitch a tent in the backyard, that'll be your date night. That's my idea. It's just being one, being together, and rekindle that love over and over again. Just rekindle it, redo it. Our lives get so busy and so hectic, but I tell you what, the pandemic showed us that we can be still.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we can be still. We can love each other. We just got to do it. We just got to do it. Yeah. And we are commanded to do it. We took a vow. We promised
that
we would do it.
Mm-hmm. So and we have a choice.
I don't like to go back on my promises. Mm-hmm. I took a vow.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Like one thing I can add to that is that, you know, we created the date night. We just said we had to have a time that we could just be together. We picked Friday night. And especially since we've been in Minnesota, because we was, I was working in Austin and going from Austin to the church and back here. And she was working the night shift in the intensive care unit. We had to create a time. We had to create a time. We said, okay, Friday night at this particular time, this is gonna be our night. And we're gonna come together, spend time together. If it's not but 2 hours, we plan that time. It gotta be planned. And the thing about it is, I couldn't plan every time. You gotta do it together. I mean, I can decide this week what we gonna do, where we going, but then she can decide next week what we're gonna do, where we're going. So I would encourage that. Be willing to let
it's
each other.
It's fixing to be over because we've been on here an hour almost.
Gene, we hear you saying we've been on an hour almost. We hear you.
But that's what I was going to say. It looks like, you know, it may be a part two. We had about 10 questions and we only got the two of them. And Deacon Emery has a question.
Okay, it'll definitely be a part two. Okay.
Yeah, yes. Thanks, Dr. Chavez. And thanks, Pastor Russell and Sister Teresa for spearheading this forum. This is a really great topic. My question is in 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes.
So my question is, and this is to any of the couples, what irritating thing does your spouse does that love helps you overcome? What just really gets on your nerves, but you let it go because you love your spouse so much? Amen.
How much time we got?
I know that's gonna have to, hey, that's what we're gonna have to start there next week.
That's right. Hey, we don't have no time.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
That's a great thing.
And it's a big piece of it too. It's a big piece of the whole thing, and it's an important question. I appreciate that question.
We need the time to do that one. So, Pastor Russ, what's going to wrap us up in our last 2 minutes, and we'll start with that question next week.
Well, I tell you what, that's what we'll do. We had something else planned for next week, but what we'll do is, since this is so good, it's going to help us develop that great workshop. I think we'll come right back here to the same thing next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We don't want to keep it for no more than an hour, so I want to thank everybody for participating in that. But Emma, we're going to pick that up. We're going to start right there next Sunday night. Give us some time to think about each other what irritating thing that's, oh, Lord, that's something.
It's easy for us to say.
Yeah, hell yeah.
but we don't have enough time to get it out. So, with that in mind, we want to thank you all, everybody, for coming tonight. And we do look forward to this great conversation continuing. I realized when we said this, the love seat, the power of love, there are a lot of people who are going through some tough times now with their marriage and with their family. And we thought it important that we could put it out there before people that marriage still works. You know,
marriage still works. It still works.
All these years tonight, that out of all we've been through, out of all the divorces you've seen, everything that's happening, this is living example, living proof tonight that marriage still works.
Amen.
And I wanted to do this before 2 weeks out from the teacher tomorrow. All over. Keep it going. And that give them even some more time to think. And right now, I was trying to get them time if they wanted to back out before August 8th, what I want to do tonight. But now, as we do it next week, they won't have time to back out then. So it's too late. So, but we'll come back right back here next week. Same time, same place. And Pearls of Living, doing our series called Pearls of Wisdom. We look forward to seeing you again at the same time, 6 o'clock. Next Sunday night.
With Gene and Jay.
Gene and Jay and Mac and Brenda, Shelby and Charmaine, and Deisha and but Tanisha and Joe, and Deisha and Lamar being 1 week closer. We're going to invite you back to the love seat. God bless you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.